Deep inside every one of us is a lion waiting to be unleashed. Are you ready to be unleashed into your destiny? As we stand on the edge of time, the web of deception is being unraveled. Carl Joseph offers you the red pill and the keys to unlock the shackles of your mind. Get ready to be transformed by God's supernatural power. Let's join him now.
Friend, today we're talking about the difference between being justified and glorified. Now you might say, Pastor, who cares about such a topic? But what I'm about to share today is rudimentary Orthodox Christian doctrine, and these are facets of the faith that you must be aware of, friend. The focus of our discussion will be Romans chapters 6 through 8. Here the Apostle Paul reveals the vacillation between the flesh and the spirit, our various temptations, God's limitless grace, and our bondage to sin, overcome by Christ's monumental sacrifice. Friend, let's start out our broadcast today with Deuteronomy 32 verse 4, which is such a powerful passage that mentions God's righteousness. And I quote, "He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." Wow. Friend, God's righteousness is immutable. He is the rock upon which we stand. He is someone to stand on. He's stable. He never changes. He can be trusted, and he is for you, not against you, friend. God is not a respecter of persons. He's fair. In fact, he's the ultimate definition of fair. What he has done for one, he will do for another. God's always faithful, friend. He's faithful to you even when you may not think he is, according to the nature that is revealed in his laws and covenants. Give God another chance today, friend. Don't quit on him, as he's never quit on you once. He's completely above unjust or deceitful treatment. All of his ways are upright. Did you know that in the New Testament, the English words for righteousness and justice are translations of the very same word? In fact, they mean the same thing. You see, you've already been justified by Jesus Christ if you've repented and received him into your heart. The book of Romans clearly shows that God requires a man of perfect righteousness to gain entry into heaven, but none can be found in the earth. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and there is none righteous, no, not one. This is the dilemma of us falling way short of God's perfect standards. Only Christ Jesus was perfectly righteous, and as you've entered into the body of Christ, friend, then you too are righteous. If the head is righteous, then the body is too. Perhaps all of God's moral attributes can be encompassed in these two aspects, his holiness and his love. It's interesting that God's love was not mentioned until the book of Deuteronomy, which means second law. Perhaps God wanted to establish his holiness first, before he wanted to reveal his love to us. Friend, God is holy and mentioned as his most central attribute in Scripture. God will never compromise with evil, nor will he be party to evil because of his holiness. Now, some people get upset when they read 1 Corinthians 15:22, where it says, "For as in Adam, all die." They say, "Hey, I wasn't in the Garden of Eden in the first place, so why should I die because of what Adam did? I wasn't even there when it happened." Well, believe it or not, that's your rebellious heart talking, friend. Let me put it to you another way. Is it fair for Jesus to become sin for you when he never sinned in the first place? Is it fair for Jesus to become a curse for you? No, it isn't. Meyer Perlman once said, "The outstanding event and central doctrine of the New Testament may be summed up in the words, Christ died, the event, for our sins, the doctrine." Christianity is unique, friend, in the sense that it revolves around the death of its founder, not about how wonderful he was. Christ's death was consistently spoken of throughout the Old Testament, whether it was the offering of Isaac, or the Passover lamb, or the Levitical sacrificial system, or the brazen serpent. All these events point to the coming of Christ, who would lay himself down for all humanity, once and for all, as sacrifice for man, for our sin. As a result, we became righteous in his sight, because of what he did, not what we did. Friend, this truth that we're righteous and justified by Christ was the very foundation of the Protestant Reformation, and we should never forget that. Let me share a doctrinal term with you real quick here. Regeneration. Regeneration has to do with the heart. It's what occurred on the inside of you when you came to Christ. Regeneration speaks of life coming into you at salvation. But justification, in contrast, refers to your right standing with God as a result of his sacrifice. The truth is, for all those attorneys out there, justification is really a legal term which pictures us, the sinner, before the bar of God, ready to receive condemnation for the sins we've committed. But instead of being condemned, God judicially pronounces us as not guilty. We're no longer guilty because Christ took our guilt or shame or reproach on the cross. Justification therefore includes two things. It delivers us from the wrath of God and makes us righteous before Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Friend, you might be saying, Pastor, this is kind of heavy today. What are you getting at? Well, to be honest, many people think they might be justified, but struggle to believe that God has forgotten their sins. But I have a scripture for you. Hebrews 10, verses 16 through 17 says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more." Wow, praise God. He remembers our sin no more, friend. And that's a wonderful scripture to stand on. God knows all things, certainly, but He chooses to forget, and we are grateful for that. So when God justifies the sinner who trusts in His saving grace, all evidence of sin and guilt is wiped away forever. Praise the Lord. So what about sins after we're saved? Can a Christian sin? Sure he can. We still have the flesh, right? Remember, if we do, we have 1 John 1:9 to stand upon. And it says, if we confess our sins, He, the Father, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friend, if you've messed up, repent today. Ask for forgiveness. Get off the mat. Don't let the devil pound you in the face anymore. Stand up. Don't wallow in the mire of your sin. Remember that Abraham believed and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It's time to get right with God, friend, and believe again. Justification is a gift. Romans 3:24 says, "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Friend, grace cannot be worked for nor merited. But remember, for every sin the penalty must be paid as part of God's justice. And that penalty was paid for by Christ Jesus for us when He literally became sin. So why, friend, do we still sin even if we're already justified? It's because of the flesh. Right now, we're comprised of flesh and blood. But when Jesus was raised from the grave, He was described as being flesh and bone, not flesh and blood. Did you catch that, friend? When Jesus was raised from the dead in His glorified body, He said to Thomas in Luke 24:39, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." Friend, Jesus' blood was spent. He delivered it to the mercy seat in heaven, and His blood sacrifice was acceptable before God. What's even more amazing is that Jesus passed through walls, and His glorified body could eat food as well. He ate breakfast, remember, on the seashores of Galilee with Peter and the crew post-resurrection. When you receive your glorified body, friend, you'll no longer be able to sin because your blood will no longer be pumping through your veins. You will be flesh and bone, just like Jesus, and the glory of God will flow through your veins instead. You'll also be able to walk through walls. Wow, really exciting. Don't ask me how, and don't ask me to explain it. We don't know exactly how this will occur, but we do know that our bodies go back to the dust when we die, and it will also be transformed into this glorified body, as I've discussed. Paul said, "The dead in Christ will rise first," but he also said in 1 Corinthians 15:50, "Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." Therefore, the blood that currently flows through our veins and arteries will no longer be present when we enter God's kingdom in the flesh. So you could say that our resurrected body will have a relationship to our earthly body as a new plant is related to the seed from which it springs. You see, friend, man is comprised of spirit and soul, not just soul. The Greek word for spirit is pneuma. Soul translates the Hebrew word nephesh and the Greek word psuche. When we die, our pneuma and psuche will both go to heaven or hell. It's a choice. Luke 16 reveals that the rich man had regret and yearned for his brothers to be warned about the everlasting torment and fires of hell. These are aspects of the soul. Friend, did you know that whether we're talking about pneuma, nephesh, psuche, or ruach, all four of these words basically mean breath or wind? In John 3:8, when talking to Nicodemus, some scholars think this verse should read, "The Spirit breathes where He wills." Friend, like the trees in the wind, we should bend and flow and bow with the breath of the Spirit. Now, it's often surmised by most scholars that all living creatures have souls, but only man has a spirit. But a careful study of the scriptures, especially Ecclesiastes 3:21 and Psalm 104, reveal that God granted a spirit and soul to the animal kingdom also. Man is in fact distinguished from the lower creatures by the quality of his faculties, not the number of them. Remember, only we are created in the image and likeness of God, friend, but the animal kingdom is not. God describes us as having a soul in Isaiah, Hebrews, and Jeremiah. And may I remind you that we're created in His image and likeness. If you want to know what God looks like, friend, take a look at yourself. In Romans chapter 6, Paul spends much time revealing our battle with the flesh, yet in chapters 7 and 8, he shows a response to this battle via the process of sanctification. In chapter 6, we see the victory over sin's power was achieved by faith, and then chapter 8 of Romans introduces the Holy Spirit, a key ally in the battle of the flesh versus the Spirit. He basically reveals the law of God is powerless to overcome sin, yet by having the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit inside of us, we're now able to overcome sin in this lifetime as we choose to cooperate with Him. The Holy Spirit both created and sustains man today. Every individual on this earth, whether or not he even serves God, is sustained by the creative power of God's Spirit. The truth is, man owes his existence to the two hands of God and the Holy Spirit revealed in God's Word when He said, "Let us make man in our image," plural. Someone once described the Old Testament as the dispensation of the Father. Christ's earthly ministry is the dispensation of the Son, and the time between the ascension and second coming of Christ, which is now, is the dispensation of the precious Holy Spirit. If you've been saved by the blood of Christ and filled with His Spirit, then sin is simply a choice for you today. You've been empowered to resist sin and not give in to the flesh, because Christ justified you with His blood. Once we die and go to heaven, our potential to sin will no longer exist because of our physical bodies being glorified in the form of flesh and bone, just as Jesus demonstrated after He was resurrected from the dead as a personal example for us in the future. Friend, I realize this session has been a bit heavy today as we discuss several key doctrinal aspects of the Christian faith. But let me remind you that you're presently justified by the blood of the Lamb. And friend, please choose Christ today if you have not. And then further on, we discuss the fact that our spirit man and soul are presently justified, but our physical bodies are not yet glorified. We still have the sin nature flowing through our physical bodies because we're comprised of flesh that's prone to sin on occasion. Yet if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Friend, if you're a regular listener to the show, I pray that you would contact me, and I would love to hear from you.
You've been listening to Carl Joseph and the Lions Unchained podcast. Carl is a minister who's witnessed God's supernatural power to save, heal, and deliver. Carl is a unique researcher who investigates current affairs, societal trends, technology, cults, and end-time events, all through a biblical lens. Every Monday, new podcasts are uploaded, so stay tuned for the next opportunity to roar into victory. Check out carljosephministries.com for exciting articles, teachings, and discussion points. See you next week, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button.